very honored also today to have Pastor J.R. Markle with us here. And J.R. and Rochelle came to Alaska the same year, I think, that we did. We've been here about 30 years. And he has pastored in Homer and Anderson and Sitka and Fairbanks and Jubilee and then in Barrow. And so he has ministered the love and the life of Jesus all over the state of Alaska. And we're just honored and blessed to have him here today. So I want you to give him a great summit welcome as he comes to share the word of God with us today.
How we doing? There we go. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. I guess I don't have to shout to you today, or at least yet. Boy, it's good to be here. What a beautiful spring we're having here. And I bring greetings. Some of you may know my wife, Rochelle. She was raised here in the church, at Wasilla Assembly of God, way back in the day. And I'll tell you a little bit about that story. But she's up with our grandchildren and our two daughters and their families up in Fairbanks. And so I bring greetings from her. My son and his beautiful wife, all the way in the back here, are with us today. They live in Anchorage. And would you guys stand up? My son married a Texan, and so we're just super blessed to, have her and our family, and she brings the life of the party. Well, about a year and a half ago, my wife and I resigned Barrow Assembly of God up in Inupiat Assembly of God in Barrow, Alaska, and we've been, after 30 years, on sabbatical for a little over a year, and we planted ourselves in Redding, California for 9 months for a ministry school. We graduate next week, and you say, after 30 years, why are you going to ministry school? I'm just hungry for more. And we're amongst a class of about 600 students. About 45% of them are international students from around the world. We have a gal from China, a couple gals from Taiwan in our small group of 60 people, and lots of Germans, but a whole bunch of people hungry for God, pressing into the presence of the Lord and just watching and waiting and serving Jesus as they go. And we've been filled up and refreshed and just felt a fresh anointing. And so it's been many years. Your pastor has asked me to come and minister to you. And so I just felt it on my heart a couple months ago to reach out to him, knowing that I'd be in town for network conference and that would really love to share. And so I want to tell you a little bit of our story today as we get into it. How about if we look at some scriptures really quick? We're gonna have a good time this morning. Are you ready? Yes. Love the presence of the Lord here today. So good. If you have your scriptures with you, turn with me to Ephesians. I'd love to preach the whole book of Ephesians to you. It's one of my favoriteest books. The Apostle Paul wrote it to the church in Ephesus. There's so many practical things and so many deep things of the Spirit in that book that I wish I could just stay in one book of the Bible. I would probably choose either Ephesians or the book of John, the Gospel of John. But today in the second chapter, we have a few passages here to go through. Father, we just ask you, open our hearts by the power of the Spirit to what your word is saying to us today. We thank you, God, that you've given us the eternal, everlasting word of God. And in it, by the power of the Spirit, our lives are transformed, our minds are renewed, and you bring vision to our lives. In Jesus' name, reveal to us the good news today for us individually and corporately. Amen. Ephesians 2:1 says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also among them were at one time gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love," turn to your neighbor and say, "because of his great love." Let's try it again. "Because of his great love, Could you say it like you're convinced about it? Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed to his kindness in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you didn't have anything to do with it. It was all him. Not from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Another passage out of Ephesians in the second chapter, verses 19 through 22, says this: consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but you're fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and raises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And then another chunk out of the third chapter of the book of Ephesians says this, starting with verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's one of those verses just like, what's it like to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God? Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want to tell you my story today. I don't often get to share my history of how I came to the Lord, so it's a really privilege and honor because it's linked to this place. And I was raised in a good middle class family with a mom and a dad that divorced when I was four. Everybody remarried at five. It was everybody's third marriage, but they loved me. They loved our family. They were just good, hardworking, kind people. But they didn't know God. But I had a grandmother that knew the Lord. She lived out on the eastern side of Oregon, on the side of a mountain. And she was a woman of prayer. She went to a Baptist church. She worked at a Catholic nursing home where they would help people, and all the sisters and my grandmother were at odds because my grandmother was not a silent woman about her faith. When she came to Christ, she was all in, and she would preach to anybody that she could pray up to the mountain or that she could get a hold of at the nursing homes and around town. And there were some good Mormon people that lived close by the family ranch there, and they would come to help her frequently, and grandma would get a hold of them, and man, she'd preach the rich and raw gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And she'd get them in the house and she'd just preach the good news. Well, she was a woman of prayer as well. She had I remember the recliner that my dad bought her, and she'd had an episode with cancer, got healed from it, but her leg would swell up. So all day long, her leg would fill with fluid, but at nighttime, she'd get in her rocker, she'd recline back, get her legs above her heart, and she'd start praying. I came to the Lord in 1985, and shortly after I came to the Lord, June 19, 1985, I got a call from my grandmother, who was in that place of prayer in her chair, and she said, I can't tell anybody around here, I can't tell these people at the Baptist church that I'm friends with, but the other night I was praying to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and JR, I started speaking in another language, and I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and so she went from a 7 to a 10.5, in power, and was overflowing with the Spirit of God. And before I came to the Lord, this woman was praying into my life. There was no outward evidence or inward witness in my spirit that anything ever was happening. That I never went. I went to church because kindergarten was at church, and the public school had rented out the basement of the church, and so I went to church, but not why we're here today. I remember going to a backyard Sunday school one time. My family had roots here in the valley. We had a family company that we were land developers. And we would buy raw patches of land and develop it, plat it out, put roads in, sell the lots. And so we did quite a bit of that. I think by the time our family was done, we'd done 36 subdivisions. You know, most of them in the valley here, Cottonwood Shores, Southland, Shorewood, some large establishments way back in the 70s. And it was always a privilege. I don't know if you've ever worked in the family business, but you get an opportunity that you wouldn't get normally. So I was the parts runner when I could drive. And I'd come up and I'd stay with my dad up in the valley and run parts. And every morning, we would go, you know, 5 days a week down to a place over in the mall down here called the Country Kitchen. I don't know what it's called now. And we'd have coffee, and we'd sit. And now I look back, and it's just like, that was a whole lot of breakfasts and a whole lot of coffees and not a lot of production. But I back in those days, I remember we would just go and enjoy it and get a plan for the day and head off. And I was the parts runner, would run back and forth. Well, there was a hostess that would help us out, just a young blonde lady. And I got my eyes on her. And I remember one time my dad would let me pay the bill. He'd slip me some money. I'd go up to the cash, you know, to the hostess to pay the bill. And one time when I was paying the bill, I got some coins, some change in hand, and I walked out the door. Well, they happened to be a whole roll of silver quarters, and she'd given me a handful of them in change, and so I got a call from her a couple hours later. It's like, hey, I just found out and just noticed. That was all. She knew my mother, my stepmom. Her mom and my stepmom knew each other. So she got my phone number. She called. She said, I gave you a whole, you know, a handful of silver quarters. I just want to let you know. And so all of a sudden, what I thought was a really nice hostess started to catch my attention. And eventually, as that summer moved on, I got the courage to ask her if she would go out to dinner with me. What I didn't know is that she loved Jesus with all of her heart. And we built a relationship that summer and spent quite a bit of time together. And she was always dropping the Jesus card in my lap. And I had I don't know if you've ever been blinded by the spirit of this age, if you remember those days. But it all just sounded like, okay, that sounds good, you know, you're talking about Jesus a little bit. And my framework for Jesus was like the Doobie Brothers. You know, Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. I had no grid for the Word of God, for the Spirit of God, for the things of the kingdom, for what Jesus had done for us. I'm just living life, and every once in a while I'm getting this soundbite. Her family's just full of the Spirit of God, the Morts, and she was a Ratzlaff, and I would go out to their family. We'd have Sunday dinners. I'd come to church every once in a while and go back to their house for dinner and have a roast. And there was always prayer, and I'm respectful. I mean, I'm just almost just crossing your, you know, I'm just not against God. I just don't know him at all. But I don't know that I don't know him. Did you catch that? I'm not against him. I just don't know him. I'm just completely, my mind, my spirit man had just shut down, and I didn't realize it. And so that summer was ended. I went off into my senior year of high school. The gal that I was chasing after, Rochelle, she went off to college, and the next summer she came back home. And of course, my heart's very fond of her. I'm a 17, almost 18-year-old young man, and I've got one intention in mind. She's got, like, this guy needs Jesus in mind. And so she drew a boundary in the sand. She told me, she said, I really like you. You're a good guy. I can't have anything to do with you, though, other than going to church. I was like, well, that sounds good to me. You know, we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know. It doesn't cost me anything, you know. And so sounds like a great time to me. And so I would follow her to church, and I just graduated high school, and she gave me a Bible when I graduated high school. And it was a paper Bible. She had my name imprinted on it, and when she gave it to me, she made this statement, Todd. She said, you just need to know this. If you ever have anything spiritual that's happening, just call on the name of Jesus. That was like the one piece of coaching I remember from her. Well, a couple weeks later into that, and I can't say that I read the Bible. She told me, she said, go to the Gospel of John. And I'm just like, you know, so I'm in 1 John, you know, reading. It's like, okay, I read that through. You know, she, no. The Gospel of John. It's bigger. It's the bigger book named John before that. And so I was looking, but I wasn't, you know, hungry or interested. But just out of the coaching she was giving me. Well, one night I was at home. We had this office building here. The Century Park was our family office, and we had a house right next to that, and I lived in the basement, and in a room. My dad and I were there, and one night, outside my window, this most obnoxious, weird, demonic sound. I could still hear the cars going by, but it was like the Lord of the Flies was outside my window, and all I could remember at that moment was calling the name of Jesus, calling the name of Jesus. It was late at night, but the sun was still up, one of those late sun night, lit nights. And so I just remember, Jesus, Jesus, I'm just calling on Jesus. I mean, I can feel fear rising up within me. And so I'm just, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the next thing I know, I'm sound asleep. And I wake up the next morning and have no idea what happened. Well, I continue my journey of free dating. So I come to church on Wednesday night. It was June 19th. That's my sister's birthday, who was actually visiting at the house there that night. And I came in, and there was a couple characteristics I remember from the church family, very similar to what we experienced here this morning. They were a worshiping group back then. All I can remember in my mind is 500 people with their hands up, balconies filled and all that. And it happened to be the Wednesday of the week of my wife's, who's now my wife, Rochelle, back in those days, her grandparents were celebrating their 50th anniversary. Every one of their family members was here. I mean, they came in from all outside. There was probably 25 people from out of state. And we were celebrating the Mort's 50th anniversary. And so we're here that Wednesday night. Every family member's here. You know, could you just imagine the prayers, like Rochelle's, you know, got this guy that's coming on Wednesday, pray, 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 pray. I'm about in the middle section here. We used to have these, the church used to have these pews. I mean, I call them the back-breaking pews. I mean, they were just like, if you had to move one of those pews, you just better just schedule a chiropractic appointment after. They're heavy as all get out. But I remember being on the back row of the first section over in this area over here. It's Wednesday night. The minister's name was Pastor McGraw, and he was the son-in-law of Pastor Riley, Wanda's husband, if you know their family. And I have no idea what would happen during that service. I just know that in closing, everybody was to stand, and they're closing out with a song, and Wanda's on the keyboard, I remember, and Pastor McGraw's got the microphone, and they're singing something. And just uncalculated, I just begin to cry. The problem is like, I don't know what I'm crying about. I've got no concept. There's no grid in my mind. I'm not a crier. I'm pretty logistic-minded. 1 + 1 always equals 2. Doesn't matter what your emotions feel like. 1 + 1 still equals 2, right, Annie? I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's just very mathematical. My mind works that way, and I just start crying. And so, as every good granddaughter would do, let me go get my grandpa. He's a minister. And so she goes and gets Grandpa Mort, brings him over, and I'm weeping, and I can't stand up anymore, so I'm sitting down, and Grandpa Mort begins to lead me in the sinner's prayer. Everybody got that one, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins, I repent, you know, I confess you as Lord and Savior. But the issue is that nothing happens. Matter of fact, the opposite effect was happening. I'm feeling more turmoil inside and more tears. And so the first time we go through the sinner's prayer, you know, it's just like that's that magic weapon we all have. It's just like this will solve everything. And it's not solving anything. I'm just beginning to just weep. And pretty soon mucus out of my nose, you get the picture, is just running. And so let's do this again. And maybe we didn't say it right. Right? And so we go through the prayer again. I repeat after them, you know, and genuine from the bottom of my heart, I'm like, if you think this is going to fix this, I trust you. I'm praying this prayer. I believe, you know, whatever is happening here is happening, and I need help. And this is the second experience I've had within a week, and I need Jesus. That's the only coach up I've got. And so it just, the second time, nothing happens. The third time, you know, so have you ever been in this place like, I don't have anything else, let's have you prayed a third time. And so I go through the prayer again and nothing happens. And what in my internal clock, it feels like I've been back there crying for 20 minutes. I don't know if it was 10 minutes, I don't know if it was 30 minutes, but it felt like a very long time where I'm getting no breakthrough. It's just getting worse. Tears, snot, grabbing a hold of the back. I don't know if you've ever experienced grabbing a hold of a back of a pew. I've got my hands on the back of this pew. And finally, I remember a guy coming around. The whole family was around me praying. So, I mean, there's 25 people. Just, they're praying in tongues. They're doing every Pentecostal. If we were Catholic, they would be throwing holy water on me. I mean, they're just doing everything we can to help this guy get free. And some man comes from the back. There was a congregation of a bunch of people behind us, which I didn't realize. But I remember he came up and came in front of me while I'm sitting on the back of the pew and I'm just grabbing onto that thing. And I will never forget this all the days of my life. It's like he put his finger on my forehead and he looked me in the eyes and he made this declaration, "Satan, I command you in Jesus' name to leave this man alone." And at that moment, when he finished saying that, it's like every power of hell broke inside my spirit, man. And I literally felt this stuff coming out of me. And I'm amongst, you know, probably 30 family members that are all Pentecostal, and they're having the rejoicing time of their life, and I'm having a life transformation experience like I'd never dreamed of, but I didn't have a grid for this. But their next, what's the next good Pentecostal move to do? Get them filled with the Holy Ghost, you know? And so at this point, I'm in for anything, and they let things settle down for a minute or so, and then Grandma and Grandpa is just like, you need the Holy Spirit. I'm just like, in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know who he is, but everything to this point seems to be working well, so, you know, and we're going to pray for you, we're going to lay hands on you, and we just believe the Spirit of God is going to fill you up. And so, They're coaching me through it. I don't know if you remember the 80s, you know, should have bought a Honda, could have bought a Hyundai, you know, we're just anything that we can back in those days to help coach you into speaking in tongues which is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. But I just got delivered. And so I'm just in receive mode the best I know how, but I'm just like wide-eyed. I don't know what's going on, but something is happening inside me. There is a transformation that's taking place. The longer they prayed, the more intoxicated I became with the Holy Spirit. I had never experienced love like this in my life. It was so overwhelming and so overcoming. I mean, I'm crying again. You know, I'm just being overwhelmed as the mercy buckets of heaven are being poured over my soul. And I don't claim that I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I could not walk out of here. I mean, they had to escort me out. I never spoke in another tongue, another language at that point in time, but I got a dose of the Holy Ghost that I needed. I knew that the Spirit of the Lord had touched me and that the love of God had filled me up. Now, I didn't have terms or I didn't have any phraseology for that. I didn't have a scripture and three examples of where that had ever happened before. I just knew that my personal experience was I'm changed and I've never experienced this in my life, ever. I remember they helped me up out of the pew and they walked me down the aisle. And as I turned around and headed towards that exit door there, now, I don't have a grid for any of these things, Pastor, but I just knew that I was called to ministry. I don't know what that meant. I didn't know what called to ministry meant. I just had this excessively strong sense in my spirit that I was called to minister. And with no grid for that. Absolutely zero grid, but I remember walking out those doors and trying to navigate my way, and we weren't a touchy-feely family, but they drove me to our home up the street here. My sister was there. She was outside in the yard, and I saw my sister, and I just overcome by the love of God, and I just grabbed my sister with everything that I had. She says, I'd never given my sister a hug in my life. And, you know, and I'm sure in her mind's like, who is this brother of mine, and what have you done with him, you know? But my life was transformed that day, and I'm here to tell you that it happened because the Spirit of God was on me and working in me and on me, but I want to go a level deeper and tell you that there was a high-functioning, loving, godly church that were a praying group of people, that were a worshiping people, that believed in deliverance, that believed in the gifts of the Spirit of God, that weren't afraid to exercise what they heard heaven saying at the moment. I needed that man to come to me and lay hands on me at that moment. I needed someone that wasn't timid, wasn't concerned about how this is going to look. What if this, you know, I don't know how, if you've ever gotten a word from the Lord and you needed to deliver it to somebody, but sometimes your fear can rise above the level of the word that you're supposed to deliver. It's just like, oh, he didn't have that. I experienced the love of a church family. Now, back in those days, not to go too deep into the things that were happening, but they would have a morning prayer meeting at 6 a.m., and we were praying the prayer of Jesus, and I can't remember, it was a system that had come out during that time. There was a name for it. Oh, I can't remember the teaching right now is what it was called, but basically we'd pray the Lord's Prayer, and all the men would show up, and so my father-in-law, who's my father-in-law now, who was Levi back then, said, you got to get up at 6 in the morning and go to prayer with me. And I'm just like, everything else has been working so good. Let's get up at 6 a.m. and go to prayer. And so every morning that summer, I would go to prayer, and we would finish. It was Larry Lee's prayer time sessions, and we would finish an hour of prayer. Would you not tarry an hour? That was the background of it. But we'd finish that hour prayer time. I don't know if any of you were there, but we'd look to the north, and we'd say, give them up, and we'd look to the south, and we'd shout, you know, and make these declarations for the harvest to come in. And it was just the healthiest church thing, family, that I could have gotten dropped into. And it was right here. Now, let me say something. It wasn't perfect. Nobody claimed to have anything together. I started spending time with Rochelle's family more and more and more. And Jesus didn't fix everything automatically. But I did encounter a church family, and I encountered a family within the church that just loved God with all their heart. And they didn't have everything together, but they knew the Lord, and they knew how to help somebody move forward in Christ. Okay, you know, and so along with the prayer times at 6 a.m., okay, you need to start reading. And so I'm reading in my Bible, and I'm just like, I start out in Matthew. Thankfully, I didn't start in Leviticus. They coached me to go to Matthew, and so I started in Matthew, and I remember, you know, getting to the 24th and the 25th chapter, and then the crucifixion of Christ and the trials and everything, and I'm just weeping that they did this to my Savior. And so they're coaching me up, okay, now you got to go to Mark, got to read Mark. And I'm just like, they're doing it all over again to them. You know, I mean, I've got no grit. I'm just crying through the whole story. And another few days go by, and it's like, they send me to Luke. And so I read Luke, and it's like, huh, it's happening again. I mean, I'm just crying at every point, every time Jesus is crucified and goes in the grave. I mean, my emotions are so attached to this one that has died for me. And I'm just coming in relationship and with God and had never experienced that ever before. But I want to say a couple things to you. And let me just frame it this way. God's got no other plan but the church. As imperfect as sometimes we can pick up that we are, which I haven't picked up anything imperfect about the church here, but she's not running at full speed ahead like we think she should sometimes, but it is God's plan A, and there's no plan B. And in the midst of that, let me just tell you what I found back in those days and what I still find today to be true. The power of relationship can help transform lives. Now, I'm going to tell you that I'm in a church right now, and I love the church that we're at, but it's a large church. There's 10,000 people that call that church their home. And I got to tell you this, it's kind of funny. I was born and raised in Alaska, so big churches don't, like, just outside my grid. You know, I wasn't raised in Texas there, Annie. Big churches. But we just sat next to the same person for the second time in a Sunday, and we've been there 8 months. And it was kind of, she'd introduced herself to me, I introduced myself to her, Rochelle, they interacted, and I saw her the third, you know, during the third week after that, so there was two Sundays, and the next week I was at the prayer house, and I came out of the men's room, and she was in the hallway right there, and she just immediately popped her mouth up, is there anything I can pray for you about? I'm going into prayer. And I said, well, I'm going to Alaska, I'm going to minister, and if you'd pray for me, that'd be great. She had no idea who I was. I left there as like, because I told her, I said, do you know who I am? I said, I sat next to you twice, you know, the last two Sundays. No, I don't know who you are. And can I tell you one of the most effective tools that we have in the church is relationship. Personal interaction with people is how discipleship takes place. It's a sad reality that sometimes we can come to church and feel the loneliest we have ever been because of the lack of personal relationship. But the key to my success in walking with the Lord has always been, I've always had personal relationship with people. Hasn't always been close. I haven't always, you know, been able to go over to their house at any time, but I've had phone numbers I can call and questions I could have answered. And I started seeking out people early on to try and grow in the Lord. I never went to Bible college. I did everything correspondence. And so I would identify people that I could get close to and learn the things of God from. One of those people was Pastor Lisey. He was one of our superintendents. He'd retired. He was a prison chaplain at that point in time. And our pastor would have evening services. And at the end of the evening service, we used to have, you know, similar to what you have, an altar area. And our pastor would call us down. This is back in the days in the 80s, and I would call it today, those were our tarrying meetings. We would tarry before the Lord. So you know what I'd do? I'd wait for Pastor Lizey to find his place of prayer, and I'd kind of like, just like a little kid, I would just get as close to him as I could, and I would listen to him call on the Lord. I told my wife later, I said, I don't know if I actually engaged my faith four or five times, but boy, those years, I would sit next to Pastor Lizey, and I'd just soak up. And I, you know what? I'd listen to a man call on God for an outpouring of the Spirit of God in Alaska. He'd just call on the power of heaven to come and revive Alaska. Save people and deliver people and heal people and empower people to spread the gospel. And I learned how to pray because I just got close to people that knew how to pray. It wasn't a secret, it was relationship. And we would get to go over to the Lizey's house. And anybody remember 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming in 1988? There was a big movement of, we laugh at it now today, but back then it was just like, it was almost like the year 2000. It's like, should we, you know, do we have rice and beans? Or it was kind of one of those mindsets. But the Lizey's had on their fridge a roadmap. If you're left behind, if the rapture's taken place and you're left behind, do these things. And they had it right on their fridge. And they just love people enough to give the plan of what you should do if you miss the rapture of the church. When Pastor Lizey was moving out of state, they moved down to Boise, Idaho, and he made this call. He said, anybody wants any books, come look through my library. And so I went there, and grabbed as many treasures as I could get in my arm. He'd let you take a handful of books out, and relationships are powerful. I just want to ask you, are you relating with people that are needing to grow in the Lord? We need mothers and fathers like never before in the church. People that will adopt young sons, young daughters, young believers. Teach them how to walk with God, how to love your family, how to love the Word of God, how to be people of prayer, how to serve others well. Relationships. The other thing that I found in a healthy church here at Wasilla Assembly of God in those days was people that loved the Word of God. I never had an identity crisis on where to go for good counsel. I didn't understand it. I had the Holy Spirit to teach me. And I had people, I remember end time events were really big back then. So I had my Hal Lindsey manual. You know, I'm trying to figure out why everybody's talking rapture. I'm not sure where's that at. You're going to Revelation. It's just like you're reading the 24th chapter of Matthew, and you just, oh man, this is. You go to Daniel and all these places. These things are breaking down. But we had people that knew their word. They didn't know a verse in the word. This might sound, I'm not trying to beat up the sheep. They didn't know their, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, amen. They knew what happened before that verse. They knew what happened after that verse. They knew why that verse was in there. And they were people of the word. If I'm concerned about anything, it isn't that people aren't getting born again. It's that people aren't getting enough of Jesus to find him in the word. There seems to be an epidemic in America and other countries that I've gone to, that the love of God's deep, but the volume of the word is pretty shallow. I just want to remind you to be people of the word. I want to remind you to be people that are just hungry for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. I just on the edge of crying this morning in worship. Just the same God that I encountered 35 years ago or so here was the same Spirit that was here this morning. And even as we're just, I can feel him. He's alive. He's a person. He always focuses our attention back to Jesus and back to the Father, but he wants to have first place and preeminence in our lives. He wants to teach us his voice. He wants to lead, guide, and direct us. the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and he always leads us in the gifts, and I love that. If it's anything from word of knowledge, word of wisdom, to the gift of prophecy and the power of healing, but there, all those things are available now and today. I know you got a Pentecostal believing, fire-breathing preacher here, and you get a lot of good dose of that. I want to just remind you that what I encountered that day was a people of prayer. It isn't popular. We measure success sometimes differently today than even 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But I just want to tell you that not for the mark that I prayed, you know, for the calculation, like today I did talk with Jesus, but I'm talking about people that know how to pray that move mountains, that shift atmospheres, that cause demonic powers to shudder and flee out of people's lives, that when people come and they're on the verge of a mental breakdown, they know how to tap into the fullness of the things of the Spirit to get someone delivered. Are you a person of prayer? Well, I want to tell you, if we could just land the ship a little bit and do some ministry here. I'm a byproduct of a healthy church, of imperfect people that chose to get together in the name of Jesus and lay their lives down for the greater good of the kingdom. And it happened right here. And I'm so thankful for those people back then. Lots of stories. I felt awkward so often because I didn't know anything. But nobody looked down on me because I didn't know anything. They kept pulling me in so that I could grow. And everything from Sunday school and teaching times and all those components were alive and well. And I sense those things are alive and well here today. But often, we don't engage. We stay on the outskirts. We start missing, you know, a couple Wednesday nights or a couple Sundays. And pretty soon, we become the statistic of the average church attender is coming one out of three Sundays. But I want to encourage you, right here's a healthy body. And it's a healthy place to bring demonically filled people to that need deliverance. Because just one moment in the presence of God changes everything. Changes everything. Well, there was a couple things that I wanted to touch on today. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is on, and here in a moment, if you've come to church and maybe you don't know Jesus, you haven't walked past that boundary of like, I want to surrender my life to Christ, we'll give you an opportunity here in a moment to do that. But every once in a while, the Spirit of the Lord talks to me about things. I know he does the same to you and your staff, and I know you're a Spirit-led church, but kind of a little difficult to respond to, but I felt like the Lord wanted to bring some healing inside of marriages today, between husbands and wives. And the sense that I got isn't that, you know, there's those problems in marriages where one person is Googling, how do I poison my spouse? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tension that's risen up, and I had a strong sense in this by the Spirit of the Lord that the last 3 months that it's been, you know, tension in the family. It's just like everything's going good, and you just keep going back to that point. And it's like, man, we just can't seem to get past that. And I know that's difficult to respond to, but I'm telling you that if you'll stand today, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is going to do something and break forth inside your marriage between a husband and a wife. There's at least three couples that are here that God wants to do that for. Would you be so courageous as to just, would you just stand right now? We're going to pray for you. God's going to come into your zone, into your atmosphere, and there's going to be a powerful breakthrough where that tension, thank you for standing, that tension that you've been feeling is going to, the power of the presence of the peace of God is going to come in. And just give you a moment to be courageous to stand. At least one more couple, if you just grab your spouse's hand. Just say, we need this, honey. We need a breakthrough. We need the Holy Spirit to come through for us. Ah, thank you. You're such a restorer, such a life-giving Father to us. If you'll respond today, you'll have breakthrough. I promise you, God's on the throne, and he's active in this area right now. All right, two of you, if you just grab your spouse's hand, if you're sitting down and you didn't respond, let's agree in faith just really quick. Father, in Jesus' name, I bind every power of hell that's trying to instigate turmoil, tension, and division in homes. We command you out. And we say, Holy Spirit, come in. Prince of Peace, melt away every word that's been spoken that does not line up with the love of God. Come and rest on these couples. In Jesus' name. Fire of God, begin to visit them in their prayer time. Prosper these marriages. They gain fresh vision for the future ahead. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. If you just wouldn't mind reporting back to your pastor, one of your staff, just let him know a new thing just happened. A new thing just happened. I want to ask anyone that is having trouble, especially with your right knee, I don't know if it's meniscus, but an issue of, it's been months and months and months that you're just struggling with pain in your right knee. And then anybody that's here that has an issue in your neck, the presence of the Lord wants to heal you. And from the base of your neck down, and then you get headaches on the left side of your head from something that's going on, some trauma in your neck that's taken place. Are you out there today? Neck pain and a right knee. Okay. Is that Elaine Olson by chance? No. Okay. All right. And anybody that has any shoulder rotator cuff problems that are here with us today? Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And then in the lower back, anyone that struggles with just chronic pain, I don't know if it's a deteriorating disc, but you get chronic back pain in the lower side of things, especially when you stand or walk or exercise. The Spirit of the Lord wants to heal you today. Oh, we thank you, Father. And last thing, I think today, anyone on a left hip, and it has to do with the ball of the hip. And I don't know if you've contemplated or the doctors want you to have a hip replacement, but it's on the left side. I don't know if you have a problem on the right, but I know that you have a problem on the left side. Who is that today that has a left? That's you, sir? Okay. You see the people standing around. Could you just be willing to be the prayer team around them and just lay hands? We're just going to simply, you might even check yourself out right now. You may be already healed. Frequently, when we call things out in words of knowledge, just the response, the Spirit of the Lord brings healing and life to those areas. But some of you are going to notice an immediate diminishment of any kind of pain that's been associated with that. Sometimes the presence of the Lord comes on, you'll feel heat in those areas. I've seen people have fire feeling, and it just sometimes it just signifies that the Holy Spirit is healing you. So if you're around those people, would you just simply lay hands? We're going to pray a quick 30-second prayer. If you wouldn't mind just putting your hand on their shoulder. If you responded and you have an issue of pain that you could recognize this pain is gone away, But Jesus is such a wonderful, wonderful healer. The scripture says that by his stripes we've been made healed. Everything that we need for healing has been paid by the wonderful Son of God. And so, Father, we simply put our hands on these people. We command sickness, pain, deteriorated joints, meniscus that's missing in knees, hip pain, back pain, neck pain, every source of these injuries to be healed now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for your great love to heal us. Amen. Now I want you to, if you wouldn't mind, if you would just check yourself. If you got to move your knee or walk around, I'm curious who, especially the lower back, whoever the lower back, if you feel 80% better or more, would you just raise your hand, just say that I felt something happen, something shift? Okay. Could we pray for you again? I don't know your name, Mickey Mouse. Yes. Could we just pray one more time for you? I think today's your day. I think you have multiple things that are associated. And Father, we just bless this woman of God. Complete restoration. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. Bring wholeness. We thank you, God. Jesus, thank you for healing us. Anyone today, maybe you've walked away from the Lord. Maybe your heart's just grown cold to the wonderful love of God. You came today, but you just came, you knew it was the right thing, but your heart's not 100% in it for Christ. And you want to dedicate yourself back to the Lord today. You heard my story. You've watched others around you, the power of Christ. You've probably even known the Lord at one time. Is there anybody here, by just to raise a hand, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to give my life. I need to surrender all that I am to him. Anybody here today up in the balcony? Amen. Yeah, let's pray this simple prayer, could we? Yeah. Church, if you just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. I confess my sin, and I ask you come in and save me. I rededicate my life to you. I commit my life to you, Jesus, and I make you my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.